produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, a very good day to all of you listeners out there. This is our regular weekly radio program where we just talk about the principles of God and see how we can use those principles to align and connect with our kingdom purpose and the kingdom agenda of heaven. Hallelujah. Wonderful day today, and I'm sending you love and greetings from Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, where I reside. And today, the message that the Lord has dropped into my heart, imparted into my spirit, is the message that has to do with inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring of the Lord. This is an old message that I preached many, many years ago. I'm sure it's more than 15 years old. And it's a message that has proved to be particularly helpful in my life. And I wanted to be able to share some of those principles with you. And I pray that they'll also be helpful to you in your life as you listen to them and as you apply them. Principles of God will always be helpful. And so it's inquiring of the Lord. And I want to start off first by setting a foundation and saying that, you know, Yeshua told his disciples to pray. In fact, they asked him, how should we pray? And in responding to them, this is what Yeshua said. He gave them the Lord's Prayer, you know, and this is a prayer which many of us pray often, but we pray it religiously without applying our minds and understanding to the pattern that was being set in the prayer. It wasn't that we should pray the prayer and just recite it, but there's a pattern that we must pray, understanding who the Father is, who we're praying to, and what we're praying for. And in part, as part of the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he taught them, a very, very key and important principle, was contained in Matthew 6:10. And in that, it was talking about thy will be done. So, you know, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So one of the key aspects is praying for his kingdom to come and also his will to be done. And that is for his will also to be done, not only in the nations, not only in the cities, but primarily and first most in our lives. So we must pray for his will to be done in our lives. And for us to be able to effectively pray for his will to be done in our lives, we have to constantly and consistently seek his face and inquire of him, what is his will? And that's why today we're talking about inquiring of the Lord, because when we inquire of the Lord, it enables us to know what his will for our lives, for our cities, for our families, for our nations, for our government, it enables us to know what his will is. As I've said, this is a prayer I've prayed for decades, and literally, I do not believe I'm exaggerating when I say that this prayer has literally saved my life, inquiring of the Lord, knowing when to inquire. We have to consistently inquire of the Lord, and it has ensured also that I stay on the path, God's path. Hearing him and hearing his will for my life has ensured that I don't stray, I don't deviate from his path. So it's of, you know, vital importance that we inquire of the Lord. And there are many things that we need to inquire of the Lord over time and every day. You know, we need to inquire of the Lord many things, knowing what he wants concerning our ministry life, knowing what he wants, inquiring about of the Lord around our children, inquiring of the Lord around our relationships, inquiring of the Lord about so many things. And one of the things I've even learned, you know, as basic as it may seem very basic and very, you know, kind of not really complicated, but I inquire of the Lord. I've learned to inquire of the Lord almost pretty much everything, including even invitations. So if you invite me, it's not an automatic, yes, I'm coming, or yes, I'll do it. I've learned to pray over even invitations. And I've got to tell you, beloveds, I turn down many invitations that I receive Some of the invitations look very, very, you know, big invitations with big people inviting you and all sorts of things. But I turned them down simply because God has not released me. And I've turned down many offers. I've turned down job offers. I've turned down many partnerships that people have offered me because the Lord told me that this is not a partnership you need to be in. Because remember, he taught us in 2 Corinthians 6:14 not to be unequally yoked. So when we are unequally yoked with people who do not have the same value, and because the devil is an angel, he disguises himself as an angel of light, it's not going to be obvious what their value system is. So even when it comes to invitations, I've turned down many invitations. And what we do not know and do not understand, the reason why some of us can maybe go for every offer that we're given, is we lack understanding that the enemy is actually behind many of these offers. It's not just God who gives you offers, but the enemy who disguises himself as an angel of light, who pretends to be a lion and he's not. The enemy will often disguise himself and he's behind many of these offers. And this is what happens. He does it to derail, to distract, to take us off of our destination path. Because when the devil cannot stop you, his plan B will always be to derail you or to delay you, or to take you off track. And he will do this by packaging what looks to be a very lucrative offer, attractive offer, and he'll package it very lucratively. And if you and I are not aware, we will think that, wow, this is actually, you know, this is the Lord. This is coming from God. So we have to be very, very careful. And he'll do that with ministry offers. He'll do that with job employment offers. He'll do that with even relationship offers and marriage offers. Some of us have been deceived to enter into wrong marriages because the marriage looked lucrative. It looked like this was the one. And that marriage, you know, just completely, almost completely destroyed us. And it was because we did not inquire of the Lord. So that was just to set a foundation around that. And I hope and I pray that by the end of this sharing, that you and I will begin to think very seriously about, do I really inquire of the Lord? Do I inquire of him around what partnerships to take, what initiatives to be a part of? Or do I just take everything that's offered to me because I want to be a part of everything and it looks great and it looks like, you know, I'm going to be branded in this. So we want to be careful of that. And very carefully, everything that is offered to us, regardless of what it is, let us begin to examine and inquire of the Lord. Because especially in this season, the enemy is really moving around as a roaring lion and trying to tempt us to get entangled. You know, there's a new word, a very word that's trending called entangled. So entanglement. So sometimes the enemy will want you to get caught up in an entanglement, which is very difficult to extricate oneself from. So I want us to talk about inquiring of the Lord. What does it entail? How do we do it? You know, why do we do it? What are the implications of not inquiring of the Lord? And in kickstarting this discussion, I want to talk about David, King David in the Bible, because King David often inquired of the Lord. And we're going to go through scriptures showing that, you know, it was pretty much a lifestyle for King David to inquire of the Lord. However, I also do want to say that he was not perfect in inquiring of the Lord. He slipped. He slipped once or twice. He slipped a few times. And if you go to 2 Samuel 11:3, we will read about one of those times when he kind of messed up and he didn't inquire of the Lord. And we'll just read that scripture and see, you know, how it turned out. So 2 Samuel 11:3 says, "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" So here was an inquiry that David was making. It was not an inquiry to the Lord. And it was not an inquiry really that was, you know, that had anything to do with where or what David should have been doing. So David was inquiring after the woman, and he was inquiring from a person, a human being. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but he was inquiring to somebody else. It says, and someone said. So David made it, that inquiry to a someone. To a someone. So I want to ask and challenge you, who are you inquiring from? Because who you inquire from is very, very important. Many of us, our first source of inquiry, we don't go to God to inquire. We don't go to Him as the first point of inquiring. Many of us will go to the tabloids. Maybe many of us will go to the news first, you know, open the daily news. And we inquire from the media, and yet there's so many fake news out there. So that's my question to you, is who are you inquiring from? And what you are inquiring about is important. You know, David was inquiring about a woman, but most often when he inquired of the Lord, he was inquiring and trying to get instructions around warfare, how to save his people, how to ensure that he wins the battle that God has placed before him. So who you inquire from, beloved, is very important, and what you inquire about is very important. So sometimes you can inquire from wrong sources, wrong people, and people will tell you things that are not true, and people will feed your flesh and carnality, and some will even tell you that maybe your assigned destiny helpers are jealous of you. They'll tell you things like that. That, oh, no, this person is not out for your good. They're jealous and they see you as a threat and they're intimidated by you. That's a prophetic word right there for somebody. That was by the Spirit of the Lord. Talking right now. So if you're out there and somebody has been trying to sever you from your destiny helper and tell you that that person is jealous of you, they're intimidated by your success, well, receive the word as a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. So David was inquiring, but who are you inquiring from? It's very important, because some of the people who will give you wrong information have been assigned by the enemy to make sure that they cut you off from destiny helpers, and they cut you off from people who have been assigned to actually help you in life. So who you inquire from is important. What you inquire about is important. And if you inquire about the wrong things, it can take you off track, like it did with David. He got on a Bathsheba track. And, you know, at that time, all the other men, the Bible tells us that all the other men were actually in war. So when you are supposed to be somewhere else, you may be busy inquiring about other things when you were supposed to have been assigned to be somewhere else and inquiring about something else. So yeah, be careful who you inquire from. Be careful what you inquire about, because honestly speaking, there are some things that you have no business inquiring about. So as we move on, whenever David inquired of the Lord, one of the things I noticed happen is that he always stayed out of trouble. So let me tell you, beloveds, when you inquire of the Lord and He gives you directions, which are from Him, because it is also possible to hear that which is not from Him. Many times we impose our own hearing because we want to hear something and we say the Lord said and it was not Him. So when we inquire of Him and we hear His instructions, then it will keep us out of trouble. It keeps you out of trouble. God will never lead you to a place where you'll be annihilated. You know, even if you get to a place where it's challenging, it may be challenging, but because God has led you there, He's already provided a way of escape, escaping the snare. He's already provided protection and provision for you in that time. So let's read 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. And it reads as follows. It says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. So that's one instance we see where David inquired of the Lord, asking him, what should I do? Should I go and attack? God said, go and save Keilah. Again, two verses down below again, 1 Samuel 23 in verse 4. Here we see David inquiring of the Lord again. And it says, then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Well, you know, beloved, some of us, we inquired of the Lord one time, maybe 30 years ago, 1990 or something was the last time we inquired of the Lord, and we think it's a one-stop exercise. No, inquiring of the Lord must be constant, must be consistent. Every day when we wake up, there must be some level of communicating with God. And when you have your morning devotions and prayers and evening at night, they must always include some aspect and element of inquiring of God, not just, you know, demanding what you want of him or bringing a grocery list of prayers. But let your morning devotion be a morning devotion where you inquire of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? Let's not enter into a presumptuous mode or presumptuous, area where we think we know already what God wants us to do. What he wants us to do for this day may be different from what he wanted us to do yesterday. So inquiring of the Lord is very important. Just having inquired of him 2 years ago or 6 months ago is not sufficient. Let it be a daily thing that we do as we speak to God in prayer, as we worship him. Let your worship and prayer include inquiring of the Lord and looking for his will for your life for that particular day. So again, we see another example of David inquiring of the Lord again in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. And it says again, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So God answered David. He told him, go ahead, pursue. You will overtake them and you'll without fail recover all. So, and you know what happened? If you read the whole account, we know that that's exactly what happened. David did with his men. He did overtake them. He did recover without fail. They recovered all. And so when you inquire of the Lord and you hear him correctly and not hear what you want to hear, then you will definitely, fulfill what God said. When you inquire of him, you will do exactly what he said. And you will fulfill what he told you, the purpose. You know, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should, actually regress against his word. So he does not fail to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and then we go to 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, here's another example, great example. Here's David inquiring. He said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And he did. And beloved, it's very important that when we inquire of the Lord and he speaks back to us, that we don't ignore what he said. That maybe, sometimes you can inquire of the Lord and you may get a response that you do not particularly want. So when we inquire of the Lord, let's make sure that we're ready to obey him, to hear what he's saying and obey him. Don't just inquire of the Lord as a way of a formality, just to tick the box and say, well, I did ask him. And then when he responds, you don't follow up with what he told you to do. And we're going to look at another example because I just want you to see how constant and consistent David was in inquiring of the Lord. In 2 Samuel 5:23. Here's David again, once again. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, this is what God said. He said, this time you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Now, remember in 2 Samuel 5:19, David had inquired of the Lord, asking them, shall I go up against the Philistines? And God said, yes, you go, and I will deliver them into your hand. 4 verses later, David is in a different situation, but he doesn't say, most of us would have said, oh, well, I just defeated the Philistines. I just took them out. And most of us would have just gone ahead with the same assumption that, well, I just took out the Philistines. God said to go up, so I'm still going to go up. David did not do that. New situation. He didn't assume that because last time God told me to, go up. He didn't assume that just because the last time, recent victory, just because I won, I won the battle this way. He didn't assume that it's going to happen the same way. Some of us make that mistake, that because God led us to do something this way, that he's going to use the same way. No, it's important to keep inquiring of the Lord for different situations, different circumstances. God may give you a different plan. God may give you a different strategy. God may give you a different battle plan. You know, so it's important that we inquire of the Lord each time. And this time, God did not tell him, go up. This time, God did not say to do what he did last time. He said, this time, you shall not go up. But this time, there's a different strategy. He said, circle around behind them and then come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. So this is why it's so important for us to inquire of the Lord, because God can give us different strategies. God can give us different plans of action. God can give us different battle plans. Sometimes God will even say, you don't go, you stay there. Let me fight the battle. Let me do it on your behalf. And he certainly did that sometimes in David's life, that, listen, you chill, you relax, chillax, stay here. I'm going to fight this one. You just sit down, sit back and take it easy. So it's so important, beloveds, that we inquire of the Lord. So whenever David checked in, like I said, he wasn't perfect. There were instances where he did inquire, but he didn't inquire of the Lord, and he was inquiring about the wrong things. But whenever he checked in with God first and inquired and got instructions, he always won. He always was positioned for victory. Victory comes when we inquire of the Lord, when we listen to what he has to say and hear what he has to say, and when we apply and implement his instructions. So inquiry of the Lord has many levels. It's not just about asking. It's about asking. It's about listening and hearing. Because do you know that it's possible to listen, but not hear? Many of us listen, but sometimes we don't hear. I see that sometimes, you know, you can talk to somebody and you can hear that they're listening to the words, but they're not hearing and understanding what you're saying. So when we inquire of the Lord, it means that we must listen, but it also means that we must hear what he is saying. And then after hearing comes understanding, and after understanding now comes implementation. May God help you and I to do that, to continuously and consistently inquire of the Lord over everything, over the ministry work we have to do, over our assignments, regarding our family, regarding our relationships. May God continuously and consistently get us into a culture and lifestyle. And may we also be disciplined, because God is not going to supernaturally hit you over the head to do it. But you yourself must conscientiously and consciously make that decision to control flesh, to subdue flesh, that even if your flesh would want to enter into that partnership, would want to enter into that relationship, even if your flesh is actually flattered by the fact that you've been asked to do something, we need to crucify that flesh long enough to ask God and to be able to inquire of him, to say, Lord, is this for me? Is this partnership, is this relationship for me? Or is this a trap? Is this to derail me and take me off of my original assignment that you have given me? So it's very important, beloveds, that we check in with God first. We get instructions and we don't presume and we don't move forward according to our flesh and fleshly desires. It's very important that we ask God, we inquire of him, what do we do? How do we do it? And when do we do it? Because those are all aspects of inquiring. So it's important to do that. Otherwise, we will learn the hard way. You know, 2 Kings 3 is the account of the three kings. And, you know, you can read that whole account of the three kings who were moving around. And, you know, the Bible tells us how they got lost in the wilderness. They started off on a journey, but in the course of that journey, they got lost. They needed water for their animals that they were traveling with, and that they were at a place where there was no water and they were lost. And you know why they got lost in the wilderness, in a desert place? Because from the beginning, from the outset, they failed to inquire of the Lord from the beginning. And it was only in 2 Kings 3:11 that one of the kings, Jehoshaphat, now thought of that. Listen, we've been lost for a long time, guys. We've been moving around in circles. Our animals are tired. We're tired. They're thirsty. This is not good. We're going to end up perishing in this wilderness. And in 2 Kings 3:11, Jehoshaphat now says to the other kings, he said, listen, guys, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And so one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And it was after that that they went to look for Elisha, and Elisha gave them instructions. Those are the instructions where he told them to, you know, to dig ditches. And after they dug ditches, we are told in the account that God supernaturally provided water from a place called Edom, and the trenches and the ditches were filled, and their animals were watered, and the whole nation was watered, and the solutions came. Why? Because they inquired of the Lord. Now, if they had inquired of the Lord from the beginning, they wouldn't have had to get lost. They wouldn't have ended up in the scorching sun, miserable, confused, lost in the wilderness. And that's what happens to many of us. We don't inquire of God, and we end up in a wilderness. We end up getting lost. You know, I'm sure they thought they knew better. I'm sure they were kings. Remember, after all, they were leaders. I'm sure they were like, oh, well, we're big kings. We are in leadership position. We know which way to go. We went to school. We went to university. I've been trained in this course. So I know the way to go. But they soon found out that with all their kingship, with all the servants that they were traveling with, they still got lost in the wilderness. Listen, beloved, doesn't matter how much you've been educated. It doesn't matter how much you think you know. Doesn't matter how much revelation you think you know, and understanding and what training you've gotten and equipment. But listen, if you do not bother to inquire of the Lord, you will still and can still get lost in the desert, in the wilderness, and go around in circles going nowhere. So let's learn to inquire of the Lord. And what happens when you inquire of the Lord? Well, when you inquire of the Lord, it will give you focus. When you inquire of the Lord, it will take your focus off of man. Because at that time when David, one of the occasions when he was inquiring of the Lord, men wanted to stone him. So when you inquire of the Lord, it takes your focus off of men, people who may want to stone you, and it causes you now to focus on God, who wants to direct you. When you inquire of the Lord, you not only get direction, it will give you strategy. When you inquire of the Lord, he will tell you of the outcome. He will tell you, listen, you will recover. You'll recover all. So you will know the outcome from the onset. When you inquire of the Lord, it will give you hope. It will give you encouragement. Because why? Because you know the outcome. When you inquire of the Lord, you'll not waste time. You'll not waste energy like the kings who were wandering around in the wilderness for 7 days. Nochal, 7 days. They could have saved time. They could have saved energy. They could have saved, you know, disappointment. And the end of that account, they didn't even have to go to war, because their initial reason for going out was to go out to war. But if they'd inquired of the Lord, they may not even have had to go out there to get to war. When you inquire of the Lord, you will gain increase. You will gain increase. And how do we do that? Very quickly, as we close this session, prayer is one way of inquiring of the Lord. When you pray, don't just talk to God, but have time to listen and to meditate, because prayer is about speaking to God, but also listening to God. So praying is one way of inquiring. So when we pray, we speak and we listen and we meditate on what he says. Worship also is another way to inquire of the Lord. It will lead you in the presence of God, where you can begin to inquire and where he can begin to speak to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let us leave here learning to inculcate the aspect of inquiring of the Lord as one of our lifestyles. Don't be like King Saul. King Saul started off inquiring of the Lord, you know, and he would regularly inquire of the Lord, but he ended up, his end was in consulting mediums. If you read 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance." Who are you inquiring of? Are you inquiring of sangomas? Are you inquiring of astrology, horoscopes? And verse 14 said, "But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." So many of us, sometimes we've started off inquiring of the Lord. We've gone off track. Some people have started consulting mediums, sangomas, astrology, horoscopes. Others are consulting motivational speakers who are speaking secular humanism instead of the word of God. Some people are consulting humanistic teachings that teaches about self and branding self. Some people are inquiring from all sorts of wrong places. But when you and I inquire of God, we will never go wrong. Some people only inquire after pastors. And let me tell you, even men and women of God, so-called fivefold ministers, they can also be wrong sometimes. But when you inquire of the Lord, and in Zephaniah, I close with this 1:6, it says, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. So there are those who have turned back. So in other words, the scripture is saying that when you don't seek the Lord, when you don't inquire of him, it can result in your turning back from following the Lord. It can result in your backsliding. And Saul, we've seen Saul as an example. He stopped inquiring of the Lord. He ended up consulting mediums and witches. May that not be our portion. I encourage you this week to make it a lifestyle. Keep on inquiring of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, make it a part of your devotion. When you go to sleep at night, make it a part of your devotion. Do it daily. Do it every day. Inquire of the Lord for everything, for your life, for your purpose, for your family's purpose, for your relationships. Inquire of the Lord around your finances, how you should treat your finances, around your assignments. Inquire of the Lord around the ministry that God has given you. Let's be faithful and consistent and constant in inquiring of the Lord. God bless you real good. It's been another wonderful week of sharing God's rich and transformational word. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Love you lots.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Oh, SKM, Shimikoti Ministries, International Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. What do we do in the midst of this pandemic? Hope and certainty is unsure. Many lives already have been lost. Many homes have no hope. Others have lost their jobs. Others, their jobs have been cut. It's difficult. It's a difficult situation. You don't know. Where do we go to? Who do we consult? States, government heads, they don't know how to navigate this precarious situation ahead of us. It is to this, ladies and gentlemen, and all those our listeners on SKM, I bring to you right now what seems to be the only word of hope that comes from Jehovah God. Exodus chapter 4. We are picking it up from verse 14 and we realize something powerful that is taking place. The children of Israel have been delivered from bondage, where they would have served as slaves. 430 years, we are told. Which means 4 generations have come and they have gone. And in that same situation, it is a very difficult situation. It is there where we are reading, ladies and gentlemen, that we find that God's people don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to move forward. 4 generations tells me that the name of God, the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac, has just remained as a name. It is in these atmospheres when I'm reading the Bible that oppression and slavery has become a normality over their life. But hey, there is a God who answers by fire. I said, there is a God who knows how to answer when things are tough. There is a God who knows how to answer when you do not know who to go, where to go to. There is a God who answers. No hope is gone. He heard their prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, upon hearing their cries, we are told when God then uses Moses to be the deliverer over the people of God, they leave Egypt. They live in multitudes. They live with some of the Gentiles that belonged in Egypt. They left. They left following the directions that God had given them. For the Bible declares, God did not lead them on a shorter route, but God led them in the way He had intended for them, to protect them from the enemies, for they had not been trained. And I can testify to the fact that they had not been trained, because it was just a bunch of slaves who did not know and have never been trained to fight. In most of these situations, the Bible goes on to tell us that it was a very, very dangerous time in the life of God's people. They had witnessed when they were being attacked. They had witnessed when their fathers were being tortured by the taskmasters. They had witnessed when their daughters and their mothers were being raped by these taskmasters. The cruel government of Egypt spared none. Wounded they were. But God has a way of delivering His own for His own purposes. So they left. They left with their hoofs. They left with everything. They left going to the place and to the land, which by this time they've just been told there is a call. There is a place called Better. The Bible declares, as they started to move, going to the place that was called Better. The Bible also reminds me that on their way going there, I can see the glee on their faces, children. I can see the excitement as those both young and old, males and females, trekking on what seemed to be the highway in the desert, going to the place that was called Better. The Bible tells us it was a place called the Promised Land. Track with me right now as we go, because the Bible, the Word of God, will tell us that as they continue to move going forward, this shows me a picture of what takes place in our salvation road. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we are saved, when we declare that I am now saved, I am now in the kingdom of God, what that means, I have translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. What that means is I've been moved from one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. What that means, I have transferred from the devil to God. What that means, I've moved from darkness into light. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, the Word of God, tells me as well, as I continue tracking with the scriptures, that you and I, we have been translated into the kingdom of authority, into the kingdom of power, in the kingdom of victory, in the kingdom of peace, in the kingdom of joy. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, it is also a kingdom of conflict. Your salvation track that leads you into the kingdom, from salvation to where you enjoy the benefits and inheritance of the kingdom. From salvation is not an end of all, an end in all, but salvation initiates, it begins the process until you arrive into the kingdom, what is called the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, If you track along with me, you would then begin to understand and realize something that is important, that is critical, that begins to take place even at this time as they continue to move on, which is a picture of what moves us from salvation to sanctification to glorification. Therefore, you were saved and delivered from the penalty of sin, and then you are being saved from the presence of sin, and you shall be saved. What brings you to what I call the future of sin, or what we call glorification. So it is salvation, it is sanctification, and it is glorification. Glorification will be the salvation of the body. Sanctification is the salvation of the soul, and salvation is the salvation of the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, track with me right now. There they are, 3 million of them, enjoying the benefits of coming out. There is something about being delivered from something that just gives you joy, that gives you peace, that makes you happy, that makes you rejoice. They are coming out, and in their coming out, the Bible tells us that after they had gone out, the Bible says as they are trekking, going to the place, what began as excitement, there comes a time when the highway becomes drudgery, where it becomes painful, where it becomes hurting, where the feet becomes to be burning under their, where the legs are beginning to be burning under their feet, but they are trekking, keep on going to a place, to a land that was called better. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me and hear me well. To you and I that have been delivered, sometimes you have got people from time to time that ask questions, and the questions are quite important. The questions are quite pertinent. The questions are quite critical. The questions are important. And the question is, I thought I was now a Christian. I thought now I was delivered. I thought now I was free. I thought now I've got victory in Christ. But what happens is when I look back where I'm coming from, who is coming after me? For the children of Israel, we see in this imagery and this picture that Pharaoh and his choice chariots were coming now against them. For the Bible tells us that God had hardened the heart of Pharaoh. The Bible tells me that after the heart of Pharaoh was made hard, the Bible says, Pharaoh continued following. And I'm about to say to somebody right now that in your life, in your salvation, as you walk with God, sometimes you can be threatened, you can be intimidated. It is normal for you to feel as if you're all alone, you're all by yourself. In such times when the enemy is tracking your feet, when the enemy is tracking behind, when the enemy is following after you, when the enemy is following after your children, the enemy is coming after your job, enemy is coming after your promotion, enemy is coming after your joy, I'm just about to say to you, keep on moving to a land that is called better. The Bible declares that as they continue to trek, they realize there was something that was now not just a minor problem. It was not just a stump on the way. It was not just some pothole on the way. But sometimes the potholes that I find on the way are so huge and so humongous that I wonder, how am I going to go about this? I can't go to the left. I can't go to the right. What do you do when the porthole is no longer a porthole? It is now a Red Sea in front. It's filled with waters everywhere, and you do not know what to go. You don't know who to consult. You don't know, what am I going to do? It was the Red Sea in front of them, and the choice chariots of Pharaoh following behind them. Such was a problem, such was the situation, such was the issue that you find over the people of God. And as they're now starting to cry before God, the same God who had them when he delivered them 400 years of problems of bondage, 400 years of being under the hand and the thumb of the taskmasters, 400 years of being controlled by this demonic system, 400 years under the Egyptian rule. The Bible, the word of God, then tells me while they were there, I love what God does on our journey to where he has promised us, because the Bible reminds me, wants me to understand that God of the heavens, he does not come down to come
and miraculously save them. But I want you to know that the same God who delivered you out of, he knows how to keep you when you are in it. He knows how to keep you when you are through it. He knows how to keep you in the midst of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to say to somebody that in these days of the pandemic, in these days of hopelessness, in these days when many have lost their jobs, when many have been cut off from their work and their employers, when many have been business have gone into liquidation, when many homes do not have a future, do not have a life, I present to you a God who delivers through and through. And when he does deliver, it is not a half job. When he does deliver, everybody shall know that is the God who delivers. When he does deliver, the devils will know that God delivers. When he does deliver, the demons shall know that God delivers. I present to you right now this Jehovah God El Shaddai, and they are finding themselves caught in between a rock and a hard place. They find themselves not knowing what to do, not knowing where to look. When it's hard and difficult in your life, when it seems to be difficult in your marriage, when it seems to be hard over your children, it's not time to give in and to give up, but it's a time to see the handwork of God manifested in that situation. The Bible, the word of God tells me and reminds me, it was in the midst of that situation that the Bible, the word of God tells me that Moses cried out to Jehovah God. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In these difficult times, in these difficult times, help us, Lord, to cry out unto you. For the Bible says, for they that cry to the Lord in the days of trouble, God shall hear them. Moses cried out to the children of Israel, for they did not know what to do, sandwiched between. There were the meat within the sandwich. Were sandwiched between, not knowing exactly what to do and how to go about it. But here is what God says. The answer was in the stick that Moses had. Because when God delivers you, he delivers you. Let me give you therefore some few things and pointers that are about to help you in your journey as you trek with God. That he who delivers you, he delivers you, and also he puts within the system of deliverance for you that is being delivered, sustenance and power, he put within the one that is being delivered, enough authority, he put and invest within the one that is being delivered, enough power and authority. I heard Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, all power and all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go, I declare to somebody, and I say right now, you can shout and say, I am going forward. We keep on moving forward because we know that God is on our side. We keep on moving forward because we know that our God will never fail. We keep on moving forward because we know that God is a man of war. We keep on moving forward because God will never lose a battle. The Bible declares when they find themselves in that situation, God is wondering, why are you crying to me? Because the system of my deliverance has got the solutions within it. The system of my deliverance has got the answers within it. The system of my deliverance has got a solution in it. The Bible says, he asked him, what is that that is in your hand, Moses? I hear God say to somebody right now that is caught between a rock and a hard place. I hear God saying to somebody right now who has lost hope and who has lost faith and has lost joy. I hear God speaking to somebody right now that the answer is not up there. The answer is not to the left or to the right. The answer is not anywhere. The answer is not in a system of this world. The answer is not in Centrelink. The answer is not in the welfare systems of the government of this world, good as they can be, but they are limited. But I present to you right now something that is unlimited, something that is called the authority of God. The answer is in the road that you are holding, Moses, for that road is the same road that would die in Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer was in the road that he was holding. And the Bible says when Moses stretched out the road across the Red Sea, that which was liquid became solid. I'm here to say to somebody, when I tell you that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when I tell you that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when I tell you that Jesus Christ, he is the El Shaddai, Adonai, El Roy, the God who is and who was and is to come. When I tell you that Jehovah God is his name, he is incomparable. He can't be compared to Buddha. He can't be compared to anybody. He can't be compared to Muhammad. He can't be compared to the gods of this world. That Jehovah God is self-sustaining. He was in forever before forever, was there as forever. He is a forever being God. That's the one that I'm talking about today. The answer is in the road. The Bible declares when he stretched out his rod across the Red Sea, that which was impossible became possible, because we do not serve a God only who makes impossible situations become possible, but is a God who makes possible situations impossible. It is impossible for water liquid to move up and stand up straight like a wall, but not with this Jehovah God. It is impossible for the Jericho walls where 600 chariots would walk upon, who would travel upon in the walls of Jericho, to come down because of a song. But I'm here to say to somebody, not with this God. What is possible becomes impossible. What is impossible becomes possible. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, and listen to me very carefully, that in these days that we are living in this hour that we are calling upon this Jehovah God, we shall see the goodness of the Lord upon our lives. I prophesy to somebody, listen to me right now. Do not fear. Jehovah God Almighty, he's a man of war. The Bible says when he stretched out his rod, even across the Red Sea, God began to manifest himself. God began to show forth his power. God began to show forth his grace. God began to show forth his mightiness. God began to show off even upon his power. Lord, I thank you that in the times of the coronavirus, you are God who knows how to show off. You are God who knows how to show off himself. Mighty and strong is Jehovah God Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, as I continue right now with that which God has given me, I want you to understand that the Bible, also the word of God, tells me not only did it stood up, but they started now moving forward. It was scary, but they moved forward. It was frightening, but they moved forward. They did not understand what's happening, but they moved forward. Sometimes in my journey of faith as I walk with God, I find myself moving forward. I move forward without understanding. I move forward with the trepidation. I move forward with no hope. I move forward not knowing exactly what I am doing. That's what is called faith. They moved along. And the Bible, the word of God tells me, they arrived at the other side. But the same God who has opened the Red Sea, one thing that you don't seem to be understanding, is a God who knows when to close the Red Sea. The Bible says, sometimes when you open, even your enemies seem to be enjoying the same blessings. They seem to be enjoying the same peace. They seem to be enjoying the same joy. They seem to be enjoying the same authority. They seem to be enjoying the same benefits. They seem to be enjoying the same inheritance. They walked also on dry ground. Am I talking to somebody? And as they were coming out, the Bible says when they arrived at the other end, the enemies, Pharaoh and his chariots, who thought that they were also enjoying the benefits of that which they thought it was them for them to benefit from. The Bible, the word of God tells me, while they were in that time of enjoyment, the Bible says, then God who opens the Red Sea, closed the Red Sea. And I'm here to say to somebody, whatever has been following around you, whatever has been following against you, whatever has been set against you, what they planned and connived against your success and against your victory and against your business, I hear the word of the Lord declare, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. I pray for somebody right now in the name of Jesus that you will get into your victory understanding. Do not worry for what's coming behind you, because when God closes and shuts it down, is going to be shut down and everybody's going to see that it is the handwork of God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for greater opportunities that you have set for my life. I thank you for greater opportunities that you have helped me, oh God, to navigate through my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I worship you and I glorify your name. In these days that we're living in, so that we can see the beauty of God. In these days that we are living, that we can testify of the goodness of God. In these days that we are living, that we'll rejoice when the handwork of God is manifested over our lives. In these days that we are living, Father, I want to thank you for opening it up. I want to thank you, Lord God, for opening it up. As you open it up, I want to thank you, Lord God, for closing it in. You closed it in for my good. You closed it in for my protection. You closed it in for my hope. You closed it in for my success. You closed it in that I may rejoice. You closed it in that I can shout for victory. You closed it in that, God, I can clap hands again. You closed it in so that I can rejoice with those that are rejoicing. So, Father, I want to thank you and I want to glorify your name. I declare, therefore, as the word of God declares in Exodus chapter 4, when you read it from verse 14, here's what the word of the Lord is. These that you see following you today, you shall not see them anymore. You stand still and see the hand of God over your lives. Father, I want to thank you that in the times of coronavirus, I shall testify and see the hand of God over my life, over my children, over Sharon, over Josh Jr., over Shelley Moyo. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you, Father, and I honor you right now. I glorify your name because you're God, God of all flesh, God who works in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God who does not change. I honor you and I worship you right now. Glory and honor be to your name. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall continue part 2 as we continue to see the handwork of God over our lives. But remember, the same God who delivers you, the same God who delivers you, who honors first, second, third, and fourth generation, no matter how long it takes, you shall come out. No matter how long it has taken out of your generation, but you shall rejoice and glorify God in the name of Jesus Christ. Rota masanda rabakatataya. Mikrando robo sondo robo shiki yanda rabazura. Mando robo koto to robo shika yando. Mikanda rabakatata rabayando. Mikando robo shika tatarabayite. Ekrete rebo si yanda rabakashi yanda. Mando robo koto to robo kosi yanda. Mikanda rabakashi yanda. You rule and reign in the midst of your people. And I glorify your name for what you are doing right now. Ladies and gentlemen, SKM, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing to you the word of God, that the Lord is saying, you are going to a land called better. Better things lie ahead in front of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.